Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 24th of May, recording at 8:38 p.m. That's British Summer Time. Now, the first point that I'll just mention here today is that Owen will be in the hot seat tomorrow doing comment of the day, and also the audio, as I will be away with other activities. I will be back on Thursday, but we are both away on Friday, and that we're heading out to Copenhagen for a private two-day chart seminar venue. I do very, very few of those, but this was an interesting one with a well-established customer, and therefore, there won't be a comment of the day or audio on Friday. I'll do my big picture audio on Thursday, and then we're closed on Monday for the May bank holiday. So let's focus on what's going on here regarding these stock markets. And I'll take first highlights. The rallies are looking tired in some instances, but crucially, bond prices remain quite firm, and I don't see stock markets coming down other than small consolidations while bond prices remain firm, bond yields weak. I'll have a lot more to say about that in a moment. I said bond yields weak, while bond yields continue to decline. The US dollar paused here, and there is some overhead resistance near these levels, but I still can't say that it's over. Metal prices are firming, and an awful lot does depend on what actually happens with China in here. And the oil price, maybe that's starting to firm. And soybeans, after seeing their rally partially retraced yesterday, running up to the upper side of resistance, backing away. They dipped a little bit early today and then pushed back up and closed with a reasonable gain, five and a bit since. Okay, on these global stock markets, now we do have, as you know, the European indices testing their highs, and I think the Swiss market index, I know the Swiss market index actually pushed through its highs, closing at a new closing high here of 6,000 and nearly 80, 6,080. So another one for the bulls, especially as the HEX index, that's Finland, has continued to maintain and extend its upside breakout. So we've had at least two new highs. I haven't check them all, but those are the ones that I have seen, and most of the European markets are testing the higher side of their ranges. Now, Wall Street is further behind, particularly the Nasdaq, but I often describe the Nasdaq as a leader, and it has led on this rally, and the Nasdaq isn't over. It's still steadier than the Dow and the S&P in here on most days. Now, you know my view overall about that good 2-year rally ending in March for global stock markets, corrective phase coming in, where I feel that the risks, downside risks way outside the upside, or downside risks way outweigh rather the upside scope. And while certainly the top testing rally in here, and particularly the sort of persistence with which markets have pushed back up to those highs, does very much question that hypothesis. And I'm not prepared to burn for the faith in here, although I am still holding on to my short positions at the moment. And that does include the Swiss market index. Why am I doing that, hitting a new high? Because if my hypothesis is still correct, close to the mark, and we're going to go into a ranging corrective phase in here, then we would most likely see upside failures on European indices that hit new highs. But crucially in here, one of the factors that I emphasized all along, which I said, this is really important, these long-term interest rates. If long-term interest rates are rising, in other words, government bond prices coming down, treasury bonds and the like coming down, then that will certainly weigh on stock markets, because people will be worried about inflation, they will be worried about higher short-term interest rates. Conversely, if bond prices are firm, they will be very relaxed, about those factors. And bond prices have been more than firm, they've been outright strong, so yields have pushed down. And I posted a number of charts, well, I posted three charts, no, a few more than that. I had point and figures, weekly and daily candles, I believe, showing yields for the US 30-year and also 10-year government bonds. And you can see very clearly there that they have pushed down to areas where strong support has been encountered in the past. Now, will that happen again? Well, let me run through the other three factors. Strong support has been encountered in the past. There is no evidence that the move is over. And the third factor that you'll notice is that more often than not, particularly in the last few years, that when bond yields move back up, bond prices come down. In other words, bond yields will move up a whole heck of a lot faster than they come down. The moves are quite explosive. So this is a really interesting area. Now, with bond yields back at levels, US 30-year and 10-year treasuries back at levels where they have encountered strong support in the past, we have to then say, well, why might it be different this time? Will China and Japan actually be stepping up their buying of US government bonds? Well, theoretically that's possible, but the dollar's rallying, so they're certainly under less pressure to do so. We have to say, will investors be piling in more US investors, any general investors, will they be piling one more? Well, not if stock markets are firm to rallying, I would suggest. Then we have to say, well, is there a fundamental economic script here that is hugely significant? Well, if you feel that bond yields are going to go on going down, then you must be very relaxed about the inflation risk, and you must be quite a pessimist regarding GDP growth. And I'm neither quite a pessimist on GDP growth, nor am I a re nor am I relaxed about the level of inflation. I think that, well, I put it this way, I'm relaxed, but I think inflation is going to be higher than most people actually expect. I think it's already higher than most people actually expect, but I won't review all those points because I've written about it, talked about it so many times. So, at wire markets here, well, because a trend's a trend and it goes on and it becomes self-feeding. And it's quite interesting to see we've had some high-profile voices from the bond fund management community, not least the PIMCO teams, really putting out very reassuring words during on bonds. I was talking to Mark Glowry, a director colleague here at StockCube Research and a bit of a bond specialist, and he said, well, watch out for comments like that because you can get a very quick change of opinion coming out from that same source. And I think it's without impinging anyone's integrity to be optimistic about markets while still holding on, while thinking, well, this is getting so good here, this is such a good situation that I'm about ready to get sort of take profits and move from the long end of the bond market into the short end of the bond market and then announce it a month later. Has it happened before? Well, you bet it has. So I think that whether that's going to happen or not, Whether I'm just the little boy calling wolf here or not, in terms of a turnaround in this bond market, to me it looks very overstretched. And what I would require, though, is a dynamic. Just give one dynamic, a downward hit here. I know we had one a few weeks ago from a slightly lower level. It was a couple of weeks ago from a slightly lower level on bond prices, 2 or 3 weeks ago, perhaps. Can't remember exactly. Usually when those don't pan out, in other words, they haven't capped the market, they're usually penultimate peaks, as I've mentioned before. But the next downward dynamic by bond prices, upward dynamic on the yields, they will occur simultaneously. It has to be clear. If you want to know what that looks like, look at the charts of the yields that I put up, and you'll see exactly what it looks like. As and when that next occurs, I would expect first a major sell-off in government bonds. Therefore, they would be shorts if you're not already there, as I am, not having covered enough of my position when they were down at the March lows. And also, a sell-off in the government bond markets, I think, after a bit of a delayed reaction, would probably weigh, almost certainly weigh on the stock market rally, but depending on the degree of the sell-off that occurred in government bond markets. Now, if that's going to happen, that would require another factor here, and to perhaps be important. That would imply that the U.S. growth was at least muddling through, and opinions are divided on that. Some people see the U.S. economy still deteriorating in here, and others see it improving. I'm definitely in the muddle through category, and the fact that the stock markets rallied, the bond yields, long-term interest rates are low here, and that does affect housing activity in the housing markets. So if long-term rates are low, we're not going to have consumers in the U.S. panicking. So I'm of the view the U.S. economy muddles through in here, or actually surprises by being a little bit stronger than the general consensus. And the big one, though, is China. What actually happens in here with China? Because we've seen some metals firming up here recently, and I'm talking about the industrial metals and crude oil. Crude oil's down at a level I think I mentioned yesterday, where I wouldn't be surprised to see crude beginning to bottom out. But again, no upward dynamic there yet. But if China is stronger than the pessimists say, and you get people so polarized on this, and I'm not in a position to know which way this is tipped. One would have to be very, very familiar with China. There's that leave that to the people who are roaming around the country, or at least talking in almost daily contact with the people who do. But you've got one group that says China not only is slowing down, but we're going to get a hard landing. Some of the Morgan Stanley boys have been taking that view for quite a while. And you've got other people who say there is no there is no soft landing. There's no landing. In other words, it's just continuing. China's just continuing to power ahead. I have said myself, as a far removed but interested observer, far removed from the scene, I've said myself that I didn't see any reason why China should have a hard landing at this particular stage. And I maintain that view. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, if China is still sailing along, then they are likely to come back into two markets relatively soon, and may already be doing so in one of them. One of them would be the soybean market, and that may well spill over into other grains. But we do have a bit of a backwardation, as I mentioned yesterday, in soybeans, which is why I was buying them. And that is really important because that shows that some end user is buying the nearby beans. So that's an important factor in my view. And also, the metal backwardations are mostly holding. We've got copper in a backwardation. We have tin in a backwardation. Aluminium had slipped out of backwardation, but lead remains in a backwardation. Nickel, which has often been the leader, has quite a big backwardation. And zinc, which has not been in a backwardation at all, except maybe for a brief few days, possibly. I'd have to go back and check that chart. But zinc has seen its contango narrow really quite considerably. So again, somebody is clearly buying the spot metals in here, and that is certainly not that is certainly not speculators. Now I just go back to I just put my metals page up to just to check that zinc price in here, and when I said that the contango had all but disappeared, 3 months zinc closed on the LME at $12,053. Cash zinc closed at 12. Did I say 12,000? It's $1,253. 1,253. Cash zinc closed at $1,252. So just $1 lower. So it looks like that's on its way to a backwardation. So again, somebody is buying these metals in here. Now, so what? Well, that would mean that the buy the dips strategy would still be a good idea. I've let my long positions expire, as you know, having felt I was too leveraged up with too many positions. But it would make this area still quite interesting. And what it would do is that for however long stock markets are remaining reasonably steady, it would mean that the resources plays, which were so dominant up until March, would come back into play. In other words, we'd get some very good rebounds and quite possibly tests of the highs. And say most of them, since they saw, well, they all virtually saw, they all saw big corrections and have lost downside momentum near prior support in most instances. So you see how all these things are interrelated. And last but not least, I didn't say much about the US dollar here. I still don't see any clear evidence that the US dollar's rally is over, but it is overbought. And on the long-term charts of the US dollar, when I look at that, this does not, well, you know my view. I've said all along that it's not going to collapse, and an awful lot of people have been forecasting a collapse or forecasting a collapse last year and earlier this year. And by collapse, they mean this going down, huge decline relative to sort of the ranging that we've seen this year, and it's been ranging mostly with an upward bias. But I've said it wouldn't collapse, that we'd seen most of the decline overall, though I do expect a retest of the lows at some point. But it's looking like early basing characteristics, even though we could still go on quite easily and see a new low. And as I've mentioned before, the dollar's basing bottoming out patterns have tended to occur over quite a lengthy period of time, several years. Now, we have just about got the Wall Street close in here, and Wall Street really paired the declines that we had seen. It's actually up a fraction on the S&P and the NASDAQ, and down 22 on the Dow at this stage. So it's still holding in here, and those government bond prices are still up 12:30 seconds on the day. And again, Owen will be in the hot seat tomorrow. All the best.